Welcome to Buccaneers Insider Live, presented by Miller Lite. Casey Phillips and Scott Smith here, joined by our very special guest today, Bernard Reedy. Bernard, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Should we tell them about our little run last year?
Oh, that's true.
We had a nice little run last year where whoever was our guest on Friday had a great game the next 2 days later.
Okay, so I hope you keep that going.
So now it's up to you to keep this train going here.
No pressure.
Yeah, no pressure at all. Not like you were going to be trying to do that anyways. You have been in the news a lot recently, not only for what you've done making the team, but for what you've done off the field, especially in the hurricane, and you had this job also just in the off season. So for people who may not know, what was this job that you had and the way that you continued it going this last week?
It was wheelchair transportation, and you just go around, you know, you pick up the elderly from the doctor's office and, you know, their houses and take them to where they needed to go, people who couldn't do it themselves. So I decided to do that when I got released from Atlanta because I sat out a year. So I decided, you know, why not help people?
So you did that out in the middle on Saturday and Sunday when the hurricane was coming in?
On Saturday. Before it got, yeah.
When everybody else was boarding up their houses and trying to get out of here.
Yeah.
That's incredible. I mean, how much did that mean to them to see that you were there doing that?
Oh, it actually meant a lot because, you know, most of them don't know that I play football.
So. Oh, okay.
So they just kind of just have, like, ordinary conversations and stuff like that. And I like to get to know them. They like to get to know me. So I just try to get them from point A to point B as quick as I can.
And have you gotten a lot of attention from this? I mean, what has it been like to see the excitement that fans and everyone has and the respect they have for what you've done?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely fulfilling because a lot of those people, like you say, they didn't know that I was doing that. So it's more like a gift, kind of like a blessing from God and stuff like that. That's how I look at it.
You guys feel like you're ready now? I mean, the first week was so strange with the hurricane, and obviously it was a bigger deal in real life. But, it you know, it did affect your preparations. You guys feel like you're ready 2 days
away? Oh, yeah, I think we was ready, like Coach, reiterated in practice. We're professional, so, yeah. I mean, even when you're not at practice, you still need to practice. So everybody knows their body, so you got to stay ready.
You know, you mentioned being released by the Falcons, and you started trying this in the NFL in 2014, right?
Yes.
So you made the roster this year to start the season, and a lot of very good NFL careers begin like this. It takes two or three or however many years, but that's easy for me to say. You actually went through those 4 years. I mean, was there ever any point where you were – Did you always believe the whole time?
I mean, I'd be lying if I said I did. It was times that it was tough, and I was, you know, I'd be working out sometimes and be like, you know, what am I working out for?
Right.
I still always loved the game, but it got to the point where, you know, not getting any phone calls, not getting any workouts, you're like, you know, what am I doing it for? And like I said, it was motivation picking up those people every day at work. So I was like, I mean, if you know, they could wake themselves up to get to the doctor, I still got to, you know, chase my dream, too.
That's cool.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And at what point did you feel confident that you would have a spot on this team?
When Dirt signed me. When they signed me, yes.
That's good.
That's awesome. And what did they tell you did it? What was it about you that made them decide that you were worth that 53-man spot?
It was just one. They just kept saying, I earned it. You earned it. It wasn't really too much more into that, just, you know, you earned your spot.
Yeah, I can answer that question, actually, because we asked him, Dirk, about that right after the roster cuts, and he said, we picked the player that played the best.
Uh-huh.
It's as simple as that. You played the best. You deserved it because you were the best player. And, I mean, that's got to be fulfilling to know when you're told at the beginning of training camp, whoever plays the best is going to win, and then
right.
it sticks to that no matter where guys came from. Right.
Exactly.
That's true. What are your expectations for yourself this season and what you think that you could really contribute to this team?
My expectations is just like any other year. I always want to progress off preseason and treat every game just like any other game. So I just want to, of course, win the Super Bowl. That's first. And just help my team anyway, special teams, even if they need me on defense. You know, I just want to be here and I just want to help. So
Do you have a kick return background from before the NFL?
Yes.
In Toledo?
Yes.
You did?
Yeah.
Well, we could tell.
Yeah. That seems like a terrifying job. Like, in general, just having to – catch it already is hard. I mean, to us, maybe to you it doesn't seem that way, but to us it seems like that would be impossible. And then what you're having to make all those decisions last minute of what you're going to do with it. I mean, walk us through mentally when you're walking out there about to receive the kick. How does that work?
Mentally, I look at everything as like, I mean, if they – I don't really think it's too many people that's more crazier than me. So I was like, if they don't run down and try to kill me, I'm going to feel every last one of them.
Uh-huh.
And it's actually not as hard as people may think because when they're running so fast, all you got to do is just take a step to the left or the right.
Right.
But you got to
figure out where they are.
Oh, yeah, that's correct, too. Yeah. Yes.
Does sound come into that at all? Do you hear guys coming? Or do you just
Oh, no, not at all. No. It's kind of like a tunnel vision, I'd say.
Okay.
You kind of just, you got to focus, you know, focus on the ball And then when you catch it, then that's when reality strikes. Okay. Like, yeah, they coming now.
So you can't even think about your first move.
Oh, no.
You got to think about nothing but catching the ball until
catch,
that's
yeah,
over.
Always secure the ball first. We always want possession.
Yeah.
So. That's crazy. And we always hear that Levante David loves fielding stuff off the jugs machine in practice. Yeah. How do you evaluate?
Oh, Levante, he's good. Yeah. Like, especially to be a linebacker in his – and when he focused, I just wish we could have got him out there when that son was out there. That's when But I think he still would have caught him.
You think it still would have happened. Yeah. That's pretty funny. I like that. And looking at you as a wide receiver as well, knowing that at any point you could really be called in to contribute in that area as well, how do you work in the preparation of that throughout the week to know that you're ready for that and getting that chemistry that we always talk about with you and Jameis?
I guess, like I said, you know, earlier, being a professional and stuff, like knowing this is what you get up every day to do. So, I mean, studying is like second nature. Before you go to sleep, study. When you get in here, study before meeting. Study in meetings. So I think, you know, just all the studying and all the preparation, I think all that just comes together and make it like second nature.
A couple of the guys that didn't make the 53-man roster that you were competing with, Freddie Martino and Bobo Wilson, are both on the practice squad. You guys all kind of, is it kind of like a fraternity for you? I mean, you wanted to win the spot, but you want to see those guys succeed too. Are you glad to see them still around?
Oh, yes, most definitely. Like, those boys, they're like brothers, you know. Yeah. We all in it as one, and they're still on the team too. So at any time, you know, they can be pulled up, and they got to jump in just like me. So, and we all still working hard. We all still working because at the end of the day, it's football, and you got to be ready when your name is called.
So what – I'm sorry.
Looking at Chicago this weekend, as you guys have been preparing, I know obviously it maybe has been a bit of a short week in terms of preparation. How well do you feel like you know their defense now and what you might need to expect or their special teams unit you're going to be going against?
I think we know it as well as, like, we didn't have a break. Like, we didn't have the, you know, the hurricane come because we still got our surfaces with us. So, I mean, if you had power and stuff, find it a source of power, you can always get on your tablet and, you know, look it up. And then I just feel playing them last year, too.
That's
so just go back in your stuff that you had last year and look because they don't really change too much.
They got a lot of new defensive backs, though. I mean, they got some new corners, and they got Quentin Demps playing safety. They got a rookie playing safety. So, but Chicago played pretty well in their first game. So does it look like that secondary is coming together well for them with all those new pieces?
I would say they have a great defense, but I think with the if we just stick to our game plan and with the concept that they run, I think we'll be just fine.
And how important is this game for you guys? I mean, when it technically is week two, but it probably feels like two games in one almost. I mean, the mental side of this game and what it means to start the season off this way. I mean, what does that mean to you guys?
Oh, it definitely means a lot because you always want to go undefeated at home. So this is, you know, this the season opener for us, and we're ready to go take it by storm.
Well, there was a period there where the Bucs were struggling to get wins at home, but really turned it around in the second half last year, and you really saw the Bay Area respond. I mean, each game towards the end of the season seemed like it was louder. So you guys looking forward to what you think will be a pretty good atmosphere this
season? Yeah, most definitely. You know, fans are a big part, too, and we just want to bring them a show.
And it may be a nice little way to forget all that's happened in the last week or so for them.
Yeah, we get a little win and one that's too bad.
That would be great. And, you always hear about how backup quarterbacks will be helping each other. You know, like the guys that you know aren't starting will be helping Jameis, looking at stuff, talking to them on their tablet. Does that carry over to other positions? Like for you, if you're not in as a wide receiver at that time, are you telling, you know, guys like Mike what you're seeing out there, things that he could do a little bit differently?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Like we take what we do in practice and we take it to the game. And you always want a bunch of set of eyes watching. So, you know, he may not see something that we see. So it's always, you know, trying to relay messages on the sideline.
Is it fair to say that when you're on the field on offense, it's going to be probably in the slot? Is that the position you practice the most?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's the key to being good in the slot? Is it quick moves? Is it courage?
It's kind of both of those. And it's like knowing your opponent, you know, knowing what they're going to go out there and do so you already got the upper hand on them.
I would assume that the skills that you've shown us on punt returns would be very good also for like those little screen passes and tunnel screens and stuff. Right?
Yeah, I always go out there and I try to see what the DB is going to do and stuff like that. And I try to, like, really see if they can really run.
Okay.
Favorite moment when you're on the field for you? What is it of one thing that could happen this Sunday that would just make you go crazy?
Oh, return. A return.
All the way to the house.
Yeah, we haven't had one in a while.
Along the way. Yeah. Instead of having even just that clear sailing, you want to juke a few people.
I got to say that.
I think I like going straight more than I like going sideways because that actually get me tired.
I bet. 100 yards turns into 150.
That's
awesome. Well, thank you so much for being us. Good luck this Sunday. We're excited to see it. Stay with us. Thanks, we still have two more segments.
shine. Hey, hey, Tampa Bay, the Bucks know how to shine.
Give a cheer for the Buccaneers. Give a cheer for the Buccaneers.
Hey, hey, Tampa Bay, the Bucks know how to shine.
Hey, hey, Tampa Bay, the Bucks know how to shine. Give a cheer for the Buccaneers.
Go Bucks!
Give a cheer for the Buccaneers.
Stand up.
Give a cheer for the Buccaneers.
Go Bucks!
Because we know we're on the top.
We stand up!
Welcome back to Buccaneers Insider Live, presented by Miller Lite, Casey Phillips and Scott Smith here. We just had Bernard Reedy on. If you missed that, we'll be posting it later on Buccaneers.com. I mean, what a great guy. Just so incredible. Not only the story of him making the team on the field and him persevering through that, but the way he chose to spend his time when he wasn't on the field is incredible.
I know. It's a really selfless thing to do, because there was a lot of things you could have been doing on Saturday, because he stayed, obviously, and I did too, so I know how people were running around trying to make last-minute preparations for themselves and their families, so to help out some people who are really in need.
That's awesome.
What more can you say? It was great.
Yeah, what more can you want for a guy on your team than someone that has that kind of a selfless attitude?
Yeah.
I mean, that is just perfect.
Well, I guess you can tell that making the team didn't go to his head, right?
Obviously, yeah. And he said, you could tell that he actually liked that the people didn't know he was a football player.
Yeah.
He just got treated like a normal person,
right,
which I thought was pretty great. So, obviously, we have a lot to get to. We know you probably have a lot of questions, thoughts, comments of everything that's going on with the team now going into our first game of the season. Use that hashtag BucksLive. It'll be in the final segment. And obviously, it wasn't supposed to be our first game of the season.
We're supposed to be talking about a win over the Dolphins right now.
Right. And instead, we'll have to wait a few weeks for that one. For now, looking at Chicago, obviously, familiar face leading their offense, and people that Bucks fans are all very familiar with, Mike Glennon. What did you see from him in his first regular season game that the Bucks should probably be looking out for?
Well, I mean, he looked good. He looked sharp. He looked in control. Just shows you that preseason results, when people are wringing their hands a little bit over, he had a couple rough outings. You got to be careful not to read too much in the preseason. For one thing, teams aren't doing everything they can do.
Right.
You got a rotating cast. You're sitting out anybody that's even slightly injured. So the Bears have actually the makings of a pretty good offensive line. They didn't have Kyle Long in their first week, but they've got some good players like Cody Whitehair and Josh Sitton. They got Leno. He had a really nice year last year. So they're really starting to come together on the offensive line, which had been a bit of an issue in the past, as it is with a lot of teams. And if that's the case, that makes Mike Glennon a much better quarterback. But, you know, he's a big guy. He can see the field. He can make every throw. I wouldn't say, and I don't think anybody would argue with this, that if you're doing a scouting report on Mike Glennon, that mobility is his best asset.
Right.
He's probably better than he gets credit for, but it's not his best asset. There are more mobile quarterbacks in the league. So when the Bears did have trouble in that game, it's when Mike was being chased, and often chased backwards. And so Falcons did a pretty good job for a half of getting some pressure on him. So I think that's going to be the key for us, too.
When we talk about getting pressure, you point out how it's not always about getting a sack necessarily.
Right.
And you talk about the different ways of pressure, whether it's the interior guys just kind of getting up in his face, or the guys on the edge making him move.
Right.
It sounds like with Glennon, it is going to be even more dependent on the edge guys getting him moving, because he is so tall, just being up in his face might not affect him as much as, say, like a Drew Brees would.
Right.
So it might be even more important for us to get that edge rush.
Yeah, probably. Although, you know, that push up the middle is good against any quarterback because if they can't step into their throw, obviously they can't throw as well and as accurately as they'd like to. And as I said, you saw several times in that game against Atlanta where the sacks were him being driven backwards, like up the middle rather than out around the edge. So, I mean, we're just splitting hairs here. It'd be great to have pressure from either from either the outside or the inside, and preferably both.
So who else besides the defensive line, who else do you really expect to need to step up on the defensive side of things for the Bucs?
I'll tell you who's probably watching a lot of film is our linebackers, especially Quan Levante, because that Tariq Cohen, that rookie that the Bears unleashed, that I don't think many of us knew much about before week one, and then afterwards, everybody who was in fantasy football was rushing to try to pick him up. You know, he was a fourth-round pick out of North Carolina A&T. I think it's fair to say. I don't know if I'd heard of him or beyond the draft, I'd really heard much about him. But week one, they had him everywhere. They had him lined up in the backfield. They're handing off. They're pitching it to him. They put him in the slot. They put him wide one time. They even had a touchdown play to Jordan Howard where he took the direct snap and handed it to Jordan Howard. As Coach, I think, Cutter said the other day, a lot of teams in the league would like to have a 1-2 backfield punch like Jordan Howard, who was the NFL's second-leading rusher last year, and Tariq Cohen, who's like a Swiss Army knife that they can do everything with. And they're going to try, by moving him all around, to get matchups that they like. And lots of times you're trying to match up a fast guy against a linebacker rather than a cornerback because you think you got a speed advantage there. Fortunately for us, we got some pretty speedy linebackers who are good in coverage, but that doesn't mean it's going to be easy.
And how about on the offensive side of the things for Bucs, who, I mean, obviously everybody knows guys like Jameis Winston who need to have a big game, but who might be some of the people that you don't immediately think about who really need to step up, you think, and make this a big game for them?
I would like to see this be a big game in some combination of O.J. Howard and Cam Brate. I mean, I'd like to see our tight ends utilized a lot. The Bears had a little bit of a problem. They had one big glaring breakdown against a tight end in that game against Atlanta. That doesn't mean that's going to necessarily happen again, but that was a tight end going down the seam, which we got two guys that are good at, and they kind of lost him. They were rolling that. The safety went to try to help out with Julio, and we've got a guy like that that can draw coverage away in both Mike and Deshaun, right? So if Mike and Deshaun are really making it tough for these defensive backs on the edges, you would think we'd have some opportunities for both Cam and OJ up the seams. I'd like to see that happen a couple times. Use them a lot of two tight end sets. So we'll see. You know, we've got all those weapons, and there's going to be games where Deshaun doesn't get a lot, and there's going to be games where Cam doesn't get a lot, and you know, but it's going to move around from game to game. I could see this one being a big one for the tight ends.
That's interesting. And then how about on the wide receiver edge of things? Everybody's been waiting to see this Deshaun and Mike combination for a long time. How do you feel like this could play out, especially against the Bears in particular?
Well, as Dirk said the other day, we won't know until it happens. He says, we think we know how teams are going to try to defend Deshaun. And therefore defend Mike, you know, instead of every play rolling the safety his way, like he had to put up with a lot last year. We think we know what they're going to do with those guys, but you don't know until you get there. So maybe, you know, maybe the specific defense doesn't give Deshaun Jackson enough, you know, respect his speed enough when we hit some deep plays, which would be awesome. I think if Deshaun Jackson get some deep plays, we've got a very good chance of winning this game.
I think that's a fair bet. And unfortunately, now we begin the few games without Doug Martin. And that's been one of the big questions in the offseason is how much can these other guys really replicate what it's like to have Doug Martin out there. So what do you think the running attack could end up looking like?
Well, I don't think we're going to try – I don't think we're going to change our approach. We're going to try to run the ball like we always do. Last year, our running game wasn't nearly as good as it was in 2015. Yet if you look at the percentages, we ran the ball – almost the exact same amount of times or percentage of plays and almost the exact same percentage of plays on first and 10, which is a good indication of how much a team likes to run the ball. And our running game was not working very well in most games last year, but we still did it. So I got to believe we're still going to do that. I think with Peyton Barber looking like a much improved player to me, and we already know what Jack Quiz can do, Charles Sims is healthy and he's a force on third downs. I think he got a lot of complementary talents there that the Bucs can mix and match to fill all the roles you would normally want from your backfield.
All right.
So I think it'll be fine.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. And then obviously I think we'll talk a little bit more in the next segment about just the hurricane impact on this mentally, physically. This is one of those very big unknowns of how this could affect a team.
Maybe we'll have some questions about it.
Exactly. I'm sure we will. So send all of those in. Use that hashtag BucsLive. Want to hear what you want to know about this week two opening game for the Buccaneers. So we're going to take a quick break and then we'll come back to get to all of your questions. Use that hashtag BucsLive. We'll be right back.
The Buccaneers are trending upwards, and they re-signed guys they wanted, and they left enough room to bring back all the key pieces from this year.
This is great for Deshaun. Now you put him in a mix with Jameis and Mike Evans, I feel like this guy is about to explode.
Deshaun Jackson, touchdown!
The Buccaneers had a really good day. They also signed Chris Baker from the Redskins, who's a good defensive lineman. People are excited about Tampa.
This is the most exciting Buccaneers offense in the franchise history.
They're so talented, and they're so young, and you almost think if there's just one more piece, are they going to find that one more piece in the draft that can change everything?
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers select O.J. Howard, tight end, Alabama.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are the only team in the NFL that can say every single guy they drafted probably should have been or could have been off the board by the time they got the player. To get O.J. Howard at 19 is absurd.
They get a top five prospect to a team that was already going to be very explosive on offense.
Everyone in the NFC need to look out. This is dangerous. Yeah.
Welcome back to Buccaneers Insider Live, presented by Miller Lite. Casey Phillips and Scott Smith here. Time to get to your questions. You can keep sending those in throughout the segment. Use that hashtag BucksLive. Our first one comes from Oscar, who says, do you think the Bucks can take the division?
Well, yeah, I think we can. If you were being an impartial observer, you would probably start with the Falcons because they're defending champs. I don't see how they've gotten measurably worse. They're defending NFC champs. The Bucks were second, and I think we've gotten better. So that's the whole idea. We tried to close that gap on Atlanta this offseason. Of course, they were trying to improve as well. But sure, we might have closed that gap. Absolutely, we can.
It's huge. Doug says, I get the feeling that Peyton Barber is going to play a little bit more to make up for Doug Martin being out. Do you get the same feeling?
I think he's going to play a little bit more than he did last year because I think he's a more effective player now. So, yes, but I still think Jacquizz is probably going to get the bulk of first down carries that Doug would have normally gotten. So when Doug's back, it'll probably be – well, we don't know this. I was going to say it'll probably be Doug going back into his normal role and then Jacquizz spelling him, but I got to caution the fact that Dirk Koetter has consistently answered that question with, we don't know. We'll see when we get there. You know, there's not necessarily a specific job waiting for Doug, but we all know how talented he is. So if I were a betting man, I would say he comes back and – within at least a game or two, is back being the lead guy. But right now, I think both those guys pick up a little bit more. You know, it's become clear how good Charles Sims is on third down, and that's his best. That's the best way to use him. Mm-hmm. So I think you're going to see him on almost all third downs, even though all those guys can catch a little bit. And they all pass protect well enough to be out there. Charles is probably better at it than those guys. So I think you get Jacquizz being spelled by Peyton, so they'll both get more, yeah.
Okay. Doug had also basically asked something along the lines of letting you get a chance to brag on Rondae Barber. I realized we didn't even bring up Rondae with the Hall of Fame. So his actual tweet was, say it one more time, Scott. He's the only player with 45 interceptions and 25 sacks.
There is. I think that they should put every player in the history of the NFL who has both at least 45 sacks and at least 45 interceptions and at least 25 sacks into the Hall of Fame. All of them. Open your doors to all of those guys. There's one.
I was like,
Rondae's the only one. He also was a fantastic tackler for a cornerback, for just a fantastic tackler, period, but that's not something you find in a lot of cornerbacks. He had, like, 1,100 tackles. You know, it's all there. He's got the signature plays. We all remember his play in Philadelphia. He's got 14 touchdowns. There's only three guys in the history of the NFL who have more non-offensive touchdowns, wow. And that includes, like, Devin Hester and Deion Sanders, who both have return touchdowns. When you're talking about defensive touchdowns, it's basically Rod Woodson and Rondae Barber at the top of the list. And I guess Deion probably has a lot as well, but he also had return touchdowns. It's all there. He's got it all. And I guess I'm getting up on my soapbox here.
Yeah, hey, all about it. Scott's soapbox.
I just want to preemptively attack the argument that I hear that Rondae wasn't a great player. He was a system player. I just don't understand how that is that's a pejorative.
Yeah.
We had a defensive system that was very good.
But you need
it had a spot. It had a position for a guy who could play outside on first and second down, and then or whenever, and then on the nickel, go into the slot, and he dominated at that position. Why is that a bad thing?
Yeah,
it was a good system for him, and he played it at a Hall of Fame level.
Yeah.
It's not like we were looking to replace him. He was here for like 16 years.
That'd be like saying Tom Brady doesn't deserve the Hall of Fame someday because he just played in a great system. Like, yeah. That just doesn't really seem to make sense.
Yeah, it was. We were never trying to replace Rondae because it wasn't like, okay, whoever we throw in there is going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we would never know that because the guy never missed a game. Put that on his resume as
right,
well.
Which is huge.
He started 200 consecutive games at cornerback. That's an NFL record.
It's incredible.
All of these things add up. So I'm gonna be really irritated if he has trouble getting in because
so watch out, Hall of Fame voters. Scott's coming for
you. Well, I mean, John Lynch, who we think is a Hall of Famer and has been very, very close, gets dinged sometimes for a couple stats, like his interception total not being as high as most Hall of Fame safeties, and there's not a lot of Hall of Fame safeties. Well, if you're gonna hold that against him, you better let the stats count for Rondae and
that's
not dismiss
true.
Them by saying he's a system quarterback.
No,
he's also a Super
there.
Bowl champion.
Yep, that's
and
true.
Multiple Pro Bowls and all pros. And okay, I'm done.
And he's a great guy, so we really hope that works out for him. Okay, Rick says, which matchups are you looking forward to seeing most on Sunday? Things like wide receiver versus corner or D-line versus O-line, which it sounds like he means kind of whole position groups maybe.
I want to see who they match Mike Evans up against, and I don't know if they're going to do the whole follow him around with one guy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we're going to be moving Mike around as much either, though, you know, so because we don't have to. We're hoping that with all the weapons we have now, we don't have to move him around in an effort to get him off of the double teams.
Mm-hmm.
So they probably will be able to. They got so many new pieces in that secondary, one of which is Marcus Cooper, who is a cornerback, and he had a really nice season for Arizona last year. I think he even made a play or two that was pretty good against us when we went there. They signed him, and he's like 6'2", so he's one of those corners that at least has a chance of matching up size-wise with Mike. So I'll be interested to see if they do that. Prince Amukamara may have a bit of a nicer resume, NFL resume, but he didn't play the first game, so I'm not sure if he's playing in this one. So I'll be interested to see if they put Cooper on Mike and if Cooper can handle that challenge because it's
right.
A pretty big challenge.
Interesting. Okay, Mike says, how did the practice facility hold up during the storm?
It looks fine.
Yeah.
That's a good question. I can't say I've specifically asked anybody that, but also we've been here for most of the week and nobody's talking about it. I assume if there was damage, we'd have heard, right?
Right.
It looks the same as when we left, so I think it's fine. Again, we've all let out a big sigh, let out a big breath since then because, you know, Tampa was really spared the worst of what some people thought it was, and we're very, very, very fortunate. We also recognize that not everybody in the state was that fortunate.
Right.
So. You know, you and I aren't talking a lot about what we had to do because
compared
it really wasn't that bad.
Other people, it's not that bad. Yep.
So.
Absolutely. Okay, so I don't know if you're going to know the answer to this one. You pretty much know all Bucks things, but this is a stats one, so we'll see.
My favorite.
His name, Go Bucks, says, when is the last time the Bucks won 5 straight home games? Or just asking, what's our longest home win streak ever?
It's not as long as you might think. I mean, even in the Super Bowl year, we didn't win all our home games. Well, I'm letting you down because I don't remember. It's not a really terribly long streak, though. It's, you know, maybe 8 or 9 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess the point is we got a shot at that record. Cause
That's true.
We got a little streak going right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, he was saying that 5 and, you know, he thinks that we're going to go 5 in a row. So
well, he's probably counting the end of last season,
the end of
right?
last season.
So, yeah. It's up there.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. I like that.
I'll try to get the exact answer next time.
We also had a question of how much of a role will TJ Ward have this Sunday?
I think you're going to see him a lot on special teams, believe it or not, because that's the way he can make an immediate impact. I would guess, and listen, Coach Cutter is not answering any of those questions directly. Like somebody just asked him who the starting nickel is, and he said, well, you'll see on Sunday. Because
right.
he doesn't have to. Why give this stuff away?
Yeah.
So we don't know for sure if there's a big role planned for TJ on defense. If you're just looking at the situation and guessing, I would think not huge.
Still,
it really hasn't been a whole lot of time. Yeah, we had an extra week, but we weren't able to practice.
Yeah.
So I would suspect it'll take a little bit before he has a big role. I don't know that for sure, though.
Okay. All right. Well, that's going to do it for us on this edition of Buccaneers Insider Live. Make sure you tune in 75 minutes before kickoff Sunday for our next one before the Bucs take on the Bears. Have a great weekend.